Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Reaction Monday is powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and by Focus, naturally caffeinated sparkling water with a spark. Drink Focus, focus.com. My guys at Focus. So my heart is already in 1,000 pieces after learning in the last segment that we are not going to be able to watch Kansas City play Cincinnati this week. Can they not move that game to Saturday? What's Saturday?
I don't know what's going on in Saturday.
Saturday's New Year's Day, right?
It is.
College football, I'm sorry, beat it. We've got a more important game to put on. Kansas City versus Cincinnati.
Why don't you just take a road trip to Kansas City?
No, I think the game's in Cincinnati.
Or in Cincinnati. Get some Skyline chili.
Because I have to watch Titans game.
Make a weekend of it.
This is my job to watch Titans game.
Well, you sound pretty upset about it.
It's tough. It's tough. So I'm going to tell you something when it comes to already being upset. Watching Kansas City roll through Pittsburgh yesterday was just gut-wrenching for me. Was it gut-wrenching for you?
It was rough.
It was depressing. And it was depressing for a bunch of reasons. But the real reason that it was actually depressing to me is because I knew it. I picked the Steelers to win against the Titans. I knew the Titans were going to screw it up. And then they had a lead at Pittsburgh, and they went and screwed it up. And all of a sudden, now you don't have the one seed because you lost to that wretched Steeler team. And I think we can say that the Steelers stink. And that was the hardest part of last Monday's Reaction Monday program, was getting over the fact that the Steelers stink.
Well, the Steelers stink, but if you turn the ball over four times against most NFL teams, they're going to take advantage of it.
Call Justin Herbert, because he just turned it over a bunch against the Texans. What happened to him?
Lost that game.
There you go. So yesterday I put out a tweet, and I don't even remember the exact tweet. I could pull it up, but I'm not going to. I put out a tweet yesterday that was like, I hope Titan fans now see why I was so critical of Ryan Tannehill after the loss to the Steelers. Because A, the Steelers stink, and B, Big Ben is an experienced quarterback, won a lot of games on the road. Arrowhead absolutely neutered the Steelers yesterday, playing on the road. I've told people, if that game against the Steelers was at Nissan Stadium, the Titans would have won. Just like if the game Thursday was in San Francisco, the Titans would have lost. Home field does matter now in the NFL. And so I tweeted that out. And I mean the level of sensitivity from Titan fans when it comes to Tannehill is absolutely unbelievable. Now, we've only had these discussions on the radio program for like the last 5 weeks. So if you listen to this show at all, you know exactly what it is. I hold Tannehill to a standard of not making mistakes that get you beat. And then people call into the radio show or text into the radio show and make up excuses for why Ryan Tannehill didn't have to, why those mistakes are not Ryan Tannehill's fault. And it's the same every time. And I was thinking this as I watched through the weekend. And I listened to Joe Rexrow today. Anybody defending Baker Mayfield? You saw Baker on Saturday, right?
Yes. Anybody? And it's actually the exact opposite.
Nobody's defending Baker Mayfield, right?
He gets more criticism than a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL, considering the circumstances.
Anybody making excuses for Jimmy Garoppolo?
No.
So it's just the local market fans that are making excuses for the local market quarterback. The problem is that the local market media is doing the same thing. And I'm not calling individuals out, but I'm just saying it's been like every media member has had at some point in the last month and a half a reason to tweet at me, call me, text me, whatever me, about Tannehill criticism. Well, this one was Johnny's fault, and that one was Joey's fault, and this one was Baker Mayfield. And I told this to Joe today, and Joe's response was, well, I don't cover the Browns.
Which is true.
We're fine, but that's the point. When I call you a local homer, that's what I'm talking about. It's not that I think Joe's sitting at his house cheering for the Titans to win. It's that Joe is giving the benefit of the doubt to the Titans when I don't think you should when it comes to Tannehill. The fans are giving the benefit of the doubt to Tannehill on certain things, and I think we need to be less sensitive and more realistic about what's going on, and I'll use Baker as the example. Baker Mayfield has not practiced in 2 weeks, right?
I think that's correct.
He literally got on a private plane Saturday morning after testing negative. It literally was like, all right, we're going to swab your nose, Baker. Okay, now sit here for 15 minutes. 1 minute, 2 minute. Okay, negative. Baker goes and gets on the plane and goes to Green Bay and starts at quarterback. Baker had 3 interceptions in the first half. I'm not making excuses for Baker. Let me just say this. But he had 3 interceptions. Didn't practice in 2 weeks. 3 interceptions in the first half. The 4th interception was complete bullcrap. I mean, it was, in my opinion, clear pass interference. And when the guy's grabbing the jersey like that, one of the 50 referees on the field should see it. Baker's entire team has been decimated with COVID. Baker did not have his all-pro right tackle, who's hurt, his starting center, who's got COVID, and had an entire makeshift defense out there for his team, and still almost went to Green Bay and won. Now, a lot of that's Nick Chubb. But I'm just saying that if I wanted to play the Tannehill sensitivity game with Baker Mayfield, I think I could. I think I could. I think I could say the Browns are decimated with COVID. Baker hasn't practiced in 2 weeks. He's got whatever that is on that left arm that he's got, you know, harnessed up. He's clearly playing hurt. He's never been in an organization that has ever given him really any true chance to succeed with coaches like Hugh Jackson and Freddie Kitchens. And yet you all want to murder the guy after he throws an interception that we all know is bullcrap at the end of the Packer game. But nobody's making that excuse because this is the NFL. And in the NFL, nobody cares. And that's all I'm trying to tell you all when it comes to Tannehill and the mistakes that Tannehill's been making. And you all just beg me to blame everybody else. And you all say, what's he supposed to do with his 4th and 5th receiver? I don't know. What's Baker supposed to do with no practice? This is the NFL. Nobody cares. And so I was on Tannehill's rear end with the mistakes before Derrick Henry got hurt. The mistakes only magnified when Derrick Henry got hurt. And the one problem I have with the fans and the sensitivity of not understanding the reality of the situation the Titans find themselves in is that those mistakes, the 4 interceptions against Houston, the 4 turnovers against Pittsburgh, that's why you're not the number 1 seed in the AFC. That's why you'll have to go to Patrick Mahomes and Arrowhead if you get that far. That's why you'll get Joe Burrow if they stay the 3 seed, or Josh Allen if they move up and everything goes to chalk in the second round. Kansas City will get the lowest remaining seed for their first game. It could be the Dolphins. You get the highest remaining seed. It could be the Bills. It could be the Bengals. It could be the Colts. Just telling you guys, like, this is why that's a big deal. And I think I've become even stronger when it comes to Tannehill because I feel like I'm the only guy who's willing to stand up there and say, hey, this is not good enough. We watched an entire half of Zach Mettenberger football on Thursday night. They had 55 yards of total offense. The Titan record was 54 in a game in which Rusty Smith, a third stringer who made 3 career appearances and 1 career start, played against the Texans in a game only because Vince Young threw his pads in the stands the week before. That's how bad the first half was. Play a first half like that against Joe Burrow, see what happens. Goodbye. Well, Jared, it took him a while to get in a rhythm with AJ. And guess what? If Derrick Henry comes back, it's going to take him a while to get in a rhythm with him too. It's already taking too long to get in a rhythm with Julio Jones, and they don't have a tight end. That's not going to change. I just need us to start treating Ryan Tannehill like we treat the other quarterbacks in the NFL. Because, again, we're not asking for Ryan Tannehill to be able to beat the mediocre teams or the Titans to find a way against the average teams. We're asking the Titans to find a way against the good teams. Derrick Henry last season, and this tells you the difference between a big-time player and a guy who, really, we've probably celebrated a little too much. Derrick Henry last year lost his all-pro left, well, Taylor Lewan's never been an all-pro, his Pro Bowl-ish left tackle, Taylor Lewan, to a torn ACL. His right tackle, Dennis Kelly, in the lineup, out of some games. Saffold, out of some games. Ben Jones hurt all the time. Didn't matter. Derrick Henry ran for 2,000 yards. This year, Derrick Henry lost his right tackle. Dennis Kelly was released. None of the guys they brought in could play it. So David Questenberry, a practice squad level player, is there. He lost his tight end, Jonnu Smith, pretty decent blocker. Derrick was on pace to run for 2,000 yards. Doesn't faze him who was out. Jonathan Taylor in Indianapolis had almost no offensive linemen. Quentin Nelson, gone. Ryan Kelly, gone. Glowinski, the other guard, gone. Didn't bother him on Saturday night. So can we just bring the sensitivity with Tannehill down a notch? I understand you guys are going to argue to me that Tannehill's been doing this all by himself. And I'm going to argue to you that just like Baker Mayfield, or just like Kyler Murray, or just like everybody else who's ever put on a uniform in the NFL, nobody cares. And nobody feels bad for you. If the Dolphins beat the Saints tonight, Baltimore's out of the playoffs for right now. And guess what? Baltimore's played the last 3 weeks without Lamar Jackson. And does anybody feel bad for them? So I think it's fair, Caroline, to just ask, can we bring down the sensitivity when it comes to Tannehill a little bit? I'm not asking you to throw him under the bus. I'm just asking for everybody that every time that we talk about his ineffectiveness, stop making every excuse in the book. You're not doing it for Baker Mayfield.
And I think it's fair to hold your quarterback to a certain standard. To say, Ryan Tannehill threw two interceptions in XYZ game, and we expect more from our quarterback. And instead of, well, what do you expect from him? You know, he has no Derrick Henry, he has no A.J. Brown, he has no Julio Jones in those games when he did not have those players. But why is the narrative that and not, okay, Ryan, the Titans don't have A.J., Julio, or Derrick Henry, so now we need it from you.
And the need it from you is against the terrible Steelers.
The Steelers and the Texans, those are teams that the Titans should be able to beat no matter who is catching balls from Ryan Tannehill. But like I said earlier, in the NFL, if you turn the ball over that many times and you hand on a silver platter a bad team that many opportunities to score, they're probably going to. Because just because they're a bad NFL team doesn't mean that they're not going to capitalize on opportunities that you hand them.
By the way,
it's still an NFL team.
The Titans put out a tweet of Tannehill's like three best throws according to the analytic nextgen.com stats or whatever.
Uh-huh.
His A little bit of breaking news here. Have the Titans made this official?
Jim Wyatt has put it out on Twitter, yes.
Okay, Julio Jones and Bud Dupree to the COVID list. Now.
Oh, no.
Along with Buster Screen and NWI.
Oh, no. And let me say this. Julio's the least of my concerns when it comes to this list right now. Bud Dupree, that one bothers me. Buster Screen, that one bothers me because Buster is playing some good football. Oh, no, not
Saffold,
Bud Dupree.
Saffold and Elijah Molden have been activated, so maybe a couple back. So that's good.
So here's the thing that's crazy about the Titans. The Titans had Kevin Byard hit the COVID list on the bye week, and so he didn't miss a second of football. And if the Titans have this little mini bye where they put all their offensive linemen on COVID over the weekend, and by the time it comes Dolphin game, those guys are ready to go, that will be a minor miracle in and of itself. But Bud Dupree to the COVID list? I will say this about Bud going to the COVID list. Now, he's already been on the COVID list this year, but he's on the COVID list again. I will say this about Bud. If this is it for Bud, thank God. Because they cannot win in the playoffs. And I heard Willie bring this up today and no one's talking about it. The COVID list might decide the playoffs as much as anything else right now.
That's very fair.
So
they're dropping like flies.
If Bud goes to the COVID list now and misses the Dolphin game, which I don't like, at least that means Bud would be available for the playoffs because, God, they got to have Bud Dupree. I mean, Buster Screen. I don't like the idea of Buster Screen on the COVID list because Buster Screen's played some good ball. And Westbrook Akina, I don't love the idea of him on the COVID list. And, gosh, I hope those guys have been away from A.J. Brown. Because if it says A.J. Brown to the COVID list, now we got some problems. But we're to your phones on Tannehill next. 615-737-1025. I see you lighting up. All I'm asking is this. Can we treat him the way you treat every other quarterback in the NFL? That's all I ask. 615-737-1025. Again, the breaking news Ian just told us from Jim Wyatt. Julio Jones, Nick Westbrook, Akina, Buster Screen, and Bud Dupree to the COVID list for the Titans. Oh, I hate that. Stillman and Company on a Reaction Monday, live from the Game Studios, presented by Hillside Medical Clinic. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Do I trust Wentz? I know what Jonathan Taylor can do, but I'm stacking up. I'm going to make Carson Wentz beat me. Mm. I'm going to make Mac Jones beat me. I'm going to make Ryan Tannehill beat me. They're a different team without Derrick Henry, the Tennessee Titans. Mm. They don't look nearly as imposing as they did when they had Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry, if I'm not mistaken, is still fifth in NFL in rushes. He hadn't played since week 8.
Yep.
So it just lets you know what type of historic pace that he was on.
Averaging 117 a game.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that would put him very close. That might have put him over the record. Over the,
it well
the record.
Might have.
There you go, Shannon Sharp. I'm going to make Wentz beat me. I'm going to make Tannehill beat me. I'm going to make Mac Jones beat me. And guess what? That's what every team in the league should do. And you shouldn't get sensitive about it. By the way, that's what the Ravens did last year. They came in here, they made Tannehill beat him. He threw 165 yards and interception. At the end of the game, you lose. So can we just be honest? That's all I'm asking. By the way, apparently, as we were talking in the last segment, Bud Dupree, Julio Jones, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, Buster Skrine, and Caleb Farley have been added to the COVID list. Now, who cares about Farley because he's on IR? But five guys to the COVID list. Mm-hmm. And I am to believe, what was it, Elijah Molden and Roger Saffold are off the COVID list?
Correct.
That's what Ian said, correct, yeah.
Everybody hang on to your rear ends for the next couple of days, because if some more positives start coming out, this could be bad for the Titans. So we'll keep an eye on that. Let's go to your phones, as promised. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Adam has been waiting to get in on Ryan Tannehill. Thank you for calling the show. Go ahead, Adam.
I think it's a Monday thing with you, man. I think I pinpointed that because you sound terrible today. And it was last Monday was so bad. And I don't know. You get to talking about I just feel like everything you had to say about Tannehill is incorrect.
Did you think the first hour was bad, Adam?
And biased. But you, picture this, all right? So there's a Jared Stillman somewhere in Baltimore. And I wonder if that dude's sitting here as soon as, you know, running back one blows his knee, running back two gets hurt, and I wonder if they're all like, oh, Lamar's got to do it by himself or he sucks. We should stay with Flacco because he sucks. No, they don't do that, man. Our tight ends have to pick up the slack, give him some help. Our line has to give him some help. If he had, like, more than 2 seconds to throw the ball like the past five games, he's hit receivers down the field. But everybody else has let him down, Jared. So that's my big point. You're not looking at the big picture. You're just like, it's got to be the quarterback. We got to rip into
the big
quarterback
because
it's not fair not to rip into the quarterback.
Adam, what's the big picture?
Always rip him.
What is the big picture?
The big picture is that our entire team has to get healthy. He's the same guy. And when he had a little bit of support and they were pass blocking and he had a tight end that he could throw to, Jonnu, after 8 yards, you know, his hot route, he would hit him and he wouldn't take a sack. So they didn't replace that piece. And so he's getting sacked all the time. He's getting hit. He's rushing throws and looks stupid, but it's not his fault, man. He's the same guy.
Okay. I appreciate your call, Adam. If he's the same guy, then I don't need to have segments last year of us talking about whether or not he should have made the Pro Bowl. If he's the same guy, I don't need to have an argument about should they sign him or Tom Brady. I mean, here's where I actually think people miss the big picture. And this is where the excuse-making comes into play. And it's why if Tannehill goes out in the playoffs this year and bombs like he did last year, regardless of for whatever reason why, but if he goes out and bombs this year, all of a sudden you're going to see a lot of these fan sentiment turn. And the reason I say this is because in the NFL, all that matters is the end result. Adam right there is banking on this imaginary theory that the Titans are going to find a way to get healthy and be able to make a run at it. Maybe they are, but most people don't seem to think that you're going to. In fact, most of the time, you don't get more healthy as you enter December, January, and possibly February. You usually get less healthy because you play more games and guys get hurt. And so you're banking on this team getting more healthy. I would say in bigger cities in America, more is placed on the quarterback. Big Ben, for example, in Pittsburgh. Does Ben look like an old peepop? Yes, yep. He does. Does Ben probably stink at this point in his career? I think he probably does. But nobody talks about the fact that he lost Villanueva and he lost DeCastro and he lost all those guys off that big, bad offensive line, and their offensive line coach, Mike Munchak, has been in Denver for a couple of years. Nobody talks about that. Juju Smith-Schuster's out for the year. Their tight end, Pat Freiermuth, didn't play this past week. Ben and a bunch of young guys, Deontay Johnson dropping the football, Chase Claypool gets all of his personal foul penalties, and nobody says anything when it comes to Ben. Everybody looks at Ben and says, boy, he's washed up. Baker Mayfield, this is somebody I take a flyer on, and I'm not a huge Baker fan. I think Baker's too arrogant for that position. I think he came into the league and had too much of an attitude. But Baker Mayfield is struggling this year. He also is now on his fourth coordinator in the NFL in 4 years. He's got Odell Beckham's dad posting videos on YouTube about how he stinks. Baker Mayfield, nobody gives him any credit. His offensive line, besieged by injuries and now COVID, misses 2 weeks of practice, gets thrown out into Green Bay. By the way, you know who played Green Bay around Christmas time last year? The Titans did. They got embarrassed. Ryan Tannehill was awful in that game at Green Bay. And I said, hey, you know, Tannehill's not a good cold weather quarterback. Look at the stats of him passing in bad weather when he was at Miami. And the guy's lived his entire life in Texas, Miami, and Tennessee. Cold weather, not great for Ryan Tannehill, and he's got small hands, which is a big deal, and that's a reason why they measure it at the combine. And the fans went nuts on me. I mean nuts. Because we just, in this city, have this belief that God forbid you ever criticize Ryan Tannehill. And all I'm asking is, can we treat Ryan Tannehill the way that all the other quarterbacks are treated? Can we treat him the same way Baker Mayfield's treated? Can we treat him the same way Ben's treated? Can we treat him the same way Kirk Cousins is treated or Matt Ryan is treated? And I don't think we can. I think today, Joe, and I thought about having Ian pull this audio earlier this morning, but in the morning show, I told Joe, I go, nobody's making excuses for Baker, but all we do is make excuses for Tannehill. And Joe was like, well, I don't really cover Baker. But the point was that all I'm asking is, can we just treat him the way everybody else treats him? And the teams, the quarterbacks on teams that have more established fan bases, so they've been fans longer, I feel like are harder on the quarterback. Indianapolis's media is so Charmin soft when it comes to Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz made one good throw Saturday. Carson Wentz is exactly like Tannehill with a little bit more penchant for stupid stuff. But he's exactly like Tannehill. Turn around and hand the ball off every time, it's fine. He can make a big throw, one big throw, when you need it at a certain time. But that's what Carson is. And I just held Tannehill to a little higher standard. Because ultimately, I don't think Indianapolis is going to win the Super Bowl because of Carson. And I do think one of these teams along the way takes four games to win the Super Bowl. One of these teams is putting it in Tannehill's hands. And that's why we've got to hold Tannehill to a higher standard.
And to Adam's point, I mean, there is a certain level of throwing of a bone that we can do for Ryan Tannehill. If Ryan Tannehill was dropping beautiful balls into the hands of Nick Westbrook-Akina and it just goes right through his hands, then we can say, dang, that's a really tough break for Ryan Tannehill, because if that was A.J. Brown, he probably would have caught that ball. And so that's where I'm willing to say, yeah, that's really tough on Tannehill, because what are you supposed to do? But also, Tannehill has made mistakes that would have happened regardless of who was out there. I feel confident in saying, I don't know that for certain. But, you know, if you fumble the snap, would Tannehill have done that if A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry were healthy out there? Tough to say, but probably, because that doesn't really affect Derrick Henry or A.J. Brown.
Here's the problem with all this, though. Titans played the Ravens in the playoffs last year. The Ravens sold out and stopped Derrick. 60 yards for Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm.
After that, the next into the game, gotta have it drive. Corey Davis is hurt. So now it's A.J. Brown, Cam Batson, Nick Westbrook-Akina, Khalif Raymond, Jonnu Smith versus the Ravens. And this was a solid Ravens defense at the time before the injury. So they had Marlon Humphrey and they had Marcus Peters and they had those guys out there. Tannehill throws an interception to Khalif Raymond on a ball that A.J. Brown was wide open. Didn't see A.J., didn't throw it. That's all these people. If they could have blocked better, he would have had Julio for a touchdown, says who? Go back and look at the coach's tape if you can find it from the Ravens playoff game, 3rd-and-2. And I'll show this to you during a break. Mm-hmm. Third and two, Ryan Tannehill's got the ball. They ended up incompleting a pass. Vrabel punted on fourth and two from like the Titans 38, and just everybody melted down at Vrabel punting, which was the wrong decision. But Jonnu Smith has a guy on him. Cam Batson has a guy on him. They run a crossing route. They run basically a pick play. Mm-hmm. Both defenders go with Jonnu Smith. Cameron Batson is doing jumping jacks in the middle of the field. Third and two. Throw me the ball. Throw me the ball. Throw me the ball. There's one safety to beat. It's either a touchdown or he's down at the six. Tannehill throws the ball to Jonnu Smith, incomplete. Whose fault's that?
That's on Tannehill.
But the fans don't want to go there. There is a level of sensitivity with this quarterback that people do not want to go there on. And all I'm saying, I'm not saying throw him under the bus. I'm not saying cut him. I'm not saying he can't win for you when Derrick Henry comes back. I'm saying there's got to be a level of accountability. There's got to be a level of you have to do better. That's all I'm asking for. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back to your phones on this. 615-737-1025 here on Stillman and Company. And I will say this. Because there was some bad boy quarterbacking in the AFC. And that makes me a little worried about all this, too. Stillman & Company Reaction Monday, presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and Focus. Naturally caffeinated, sparkling water with a spark. You can find it at Publix. Drink Focus, PHOCUS.com. We're delivered by TriStar Moving, ESP at 102.5 The Game.
Allen takes the snap. Play action. Rolling left. Weaving through traffic. He has the first down. The Patriots thought they had him in the backfield. J.C. Jackson and Devin McCourty split by Josh Allen. Gain of 8 and a Bills first down.
Ooh, he does a stutter step on Jamie Collins and just a tremendous effort by Josh Allen. You put the ball in the best player's hands in the biggest parts of the game.
Josh Allen balling out last night for Buffalo. By the way, to the Tannehill doesn't have his weapons crowd, Josh Allen was down two of his top four receivers, and pretty much his entire offensive line got wiped out.
And another thing, we kept hearing the, well, what about Tom Brady getting shut out by the Saints argument because he didn't have his wide receivers.
What'd I tell you after a week of practice?
I mean, if you lose your players in the middle of the game and you don't have time to prepare for it, it's incredibly difficult. And that's not me making excuses for Tom Brady. It's not a pro-Tom Brady and anti-Ryan Tannehill statement. It's just two different things that you have to compare.
Have you ever heard of Cyril Grayson before?
I have not.
Well, he went to LSU, so I'm a little surprised you haven't. But Cyril Grayson had three catches for 81 yards for Tampa Bay yesterday. So Cyril Grayson.
You make it work.
28 years old. So far on the season, four catches for 131 yards. So in this game, he had three. For the season, he's got four. And that was Tom Brady's second leading receiver. Antonio Brown was his leading receiver at 10 for 101. But AB, I mean, he's been out. So, I mean, look, Brady made it work. Brady took a week of practice. And a guy, Keyshawn Vaughn, who was not ready to play when he got called into duty on Sunday Night Football, all of a sudden played a lot better. Plus, the Saints own Brady. Like,
he's 0-4 against the Saints.
So
in the regular season.
Just think about this. Josh Allen doesn't have his weapons in offensive line. Doesn't matter. Isaiah McKenzie was in the lineup because Cole Beasley was out of the lineup. So it didn't affect Josh Allen. Tom Brady didn't have all his guys. He seemed to be fine against Carolina, but Jared, Carolina's not very good. Right, and neither is Pittsburgh, and that's all I'm trying to say. By the way, the AFC, if the Titans are going to make it to the Super Bowl, the Titans are going to have to win games against Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, maybe Justin Herbert, who had a horrible game yesterday. But, I mean, you're going through some good quarterbacks. And so that's why all I'm asking. Just raise the level of accountability. Just be accountable. Just be fair and not make everything some crybaby assault on why Ryan Tannehill, deserves no blame and we should get off his back. Shoop is up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Go ahead, Shoop.
Hey, what's going on, brother?
Hey.
I want to ask you, man, Tannehill, so he's really not, let me start over. The Titans, we are a machine gun. rapid fire machine gun, okay, that happens to be our quarterback. He's the trigger, supposed to be the trigger, the foul's sure. machine gun. But the weaponry, the ammunition of our machine gun is hurt. The leading ammunition is hurt. But Derrick Henry and two receivers are hurt. But the other guys, they're on the team. They made a professional NFL team. They have to be good. They know the position. They know the plays. Why can't the guy who's supposed to be the trigger, the leader of the team, suit the same, put the same dressing on these guys as he does on the leading ammunition?
Yep, thank you for your call, Shoot. I have no idea what he said there, but I'm trying to follow along.
That Tannehill is supposed to be the one that, you know, makes this offense come alive?
The trigger to this
machine gun offense?
Yeah. I don't know. Not totally.
I understand
sure where
his point.
I'm not sure I do.
That the Titans have all of these offensive weapons and it's Ryan Tannehill's responsibility to take advantage of them.
Yes. But my point
that's
is
that's also the job of a quarterback.
My point is when your guys go down, nobody outside of here makes excuses for you. Nobody. Nobody cares that Baker's offensive line's out and Baker didn't practice for 2 weeks. Nobody cares that Tom Brady's wide receivers are out. Nobody cares. They don't care in this league. And you got to beat these teams. You got to beat Buffalo. End of story. You're going to have to beat them here. And you can't do it playing the way that you've been playing of late. And even Thursday night was not good enough. Thursday night's performance was not good enough. If you want to beat Buffalo, if you want to beat Cincinnati, if you want to beat Kansas City on the road in Arrowhead. That's all I'm asking. Just elevate the accountability a little bit. Mitch is up next. Thank you for calling Stillman & Company on a Reaction Monday. You go ahead, Mitch.
Yeah, hey, I was just going to add that I'm honestly more on your team when it comes to Tannehill and not really stepping up and all that kind of thing, but to defend the local sympathizers here, I just feel like it's been so long since we had a quarterback that could do anything. I mean, dating back to, like, Kerry Collins, and even back then I knew Kerry Collins wasn't going to take us very far. Like, I mean, we had a really good season with him. I knew we weren't going to take it very far with him. Yeah, but when it comes down to it, I just
how
don't
much do you blame Kerry Collins?
Options.
So, sure. How much do you blame Kerry Collins, though, for the Titans not going further with that 2008 defense?
Not much. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot else to that team. I mean, the defense was solid.
So this is my point with that. Thank you for your call, Mitch. Uh-huh. When I look at Kerry Collins is a backup. Like, Kerry Collins' career on the Titans was as a backup. He got signed right off the street to start a week before the season because Billy Volek and Drew Rosenhaus had gone off the reservation and they needed somebody to play quarterback while they got Vince Young ready. That was probably unfair to Kerry, but they lost like the first six games. Vince went in. So then Vince wins Rookie of the Year, and they get to the playoffs the next year with Vince, and Vince was terrible, and then Vince is even more terrible, and now Kerry goes in because Vince comes out. And the Titans go 13-3 to the playoffs. They get one game at home. Starting center Kevin Mawai got hurt, so Leroy Harris played center. Chris Johnson got hurt at running back, your best player on offense. He got hurt. And now Kerry Collins is out there with Justin Gage and Bobby Wade and Algie Crumpler, who fumbled the football. So the Titans lose. And you look back at it and you're like, well, what were you expecting yourself to do with Kerry Collins? Because Kerry Collins was a backup. And even though Kerry was your starter, Kerry was a backup. End of story. My problem with Tannehill is that right now he's Kerry Collins. And at $30 million, you got to be better than Kerry Collins. Baker Mayfield would not be a bad backup, would he? If you said, who's your starting quarterback? Okay, yeah, that guy's pretty good. Who's your backup? Baker Mayfield. That's not bad.
I'd feel comfortable with that.
But when Cleveland drafted Baker number one overall, they're not looking for a backup. Chad Withrow said this on Friday, which I thought was pretty true. Titan fans can look at Tannehill like he was a backup that they acquired for a fourth-round pick, or they can look at him as a starting quarterback on an AFC contender. Again, you want to win in the AFC. It goes through Mahomes and Arrowhead. It goes through Joe Burrow. Here you go. Right now, the top four teams in the AFC. Mahomes, Tannehill, Burrow, Allen. Who's got the worst quarterback?
Titans.
You got Kerry Collins. And that's my point. Now, is the caller right? Are Titans fans so desperate to embrace this quarterback because he's better than all the other ones? Probably. But it's easy to do that when you've been bad for a while to say, oh, thank God somebody's in here who's not bad and we might be a little good. It's another thing to do it when it comes to, can you get to the Super Bowl? Can you get there right now with what you have? And all these other quarterbacks are going to go through what you're going through. Guys are going to get hurt. Joe Burrow's got no offensive line. He's been sacked more than Tannehill. I don't hear anybody crying for him. Top two out of four receivers for Josh Allen out. People were dogging on Josh Allen after they lost the first game to the Patriots 2 weeks ago in like 50-mile-per-hour winds. So nobody cares in the NFL. That's the only point I'm trying to make.
And also, just because Tannehill is better than what Titans fans have experienced in the past doesn't mean that he's the answer. And I understand that that is stressful to be like, we finally got something that works, so we're not willing and we're not ready to look to get back on the carousel and find something new. And I'm not saying that the Titans should do that. But just because Tannehill is better than quarterbacks in the past doesn't mean that he's going to be able to bring this franchise to Super Bowl.
Let's get back to your phones on all this next. 615-737-1025. I might need to crack open my Focus sparkling water with a spark. It's naturally caffeinated with tea caffeine, so you don't have the sugar, calories, or crash that you normally have with an energy drink, and it's not going to mess up your teeth like coffee. It is sparkling water with that natural tea caffeinated spark. It is a naturally energizing, brain-focusing, taste-tantalizing hydrator. And I know this because I love Focus. In fact, like I said, it might be time for me to crack one open because we've been rocking and rolling so far today. The flavor I've got today, mixed berry. Go online, drink Focus, P-H-O-C-U-S, drinkfocus.com. And you can see all of their flavors. And in fact, you can have it delivered to your door with 15% off using the promo code GAME, G-A-M-E, at checkout. Give it a try. It's also at your local Publix. So go around, check it out, pick up Focus, drink Focus, and trust me, you will make the switch just like I have. No coffee for me, no energy drinks for me. No, nope, it's the naturally caffeinated, with that natural tea caffeine, naturally caffeinated sparkling water, Focus. Drinkfocus.com. Stillman and Company here on the program. Apparently the CDC has come out and said that people that are vaccinated and test positive for COVID should now isolate for 5 days instead of 10. Maybe that will affect sports. I don't know. I'm not in charge of what the rules in sports are. I promised your phone, so more of your phones we will go to. 615-737-1025. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Adam in Portland texts in and says, after Mariota, Locker, Mettenberger, Fitzpatrick, Castle, and Vince Young, I'm not ready to shop quarterbacks again. He's a lot better than those, and I want to support our guy and let him know the city is behind him. Sorry, not sorry.
Okay, well, let's see how that works against Joe Burrow in the playoffs. I mean, like, dude, the thing I love about the NFL is that at the end of the day, everybody's got a story for why something doesn't work out. Everybody's got a story. And it just feel like around here, sometimes we listen to the story too much. You can take the worst coach in the history of the NFL. I guarantee you that there are people that are close to Ken Whisenhunt that Ken Whisenhunt will probably say, hey, it's not my fault that my stint as the head coach of the Titans was an unmitigated disaster. Remember Peter King when they fired Ken Whisenhunt? And Peter King was like, how dare the Titans fire Ken Whisenhunt? And I'm like, how dare they not fire Ken Whisenhunt? It was so bad around here. So everybody's got a story. Everybody's got, you know, some narrative as to why it didn't work out. And again, I'm not the biggest Baker Mayfield fan in the world. And I was never really a Baker Mayfield fan. I can't remember which quarterback I said should have gone number one that year, but I certainly didn't think like Baker Mayfield was the number one pick. And Baker was taken with the number one pick in that draft. And after Baker's first year, in which the coach got fired in the middle of the season, the offensive coordinator got fired in the middle of the season, and he still went on to win Rookie of the Year. Everybody was King Baker, Rookie of the Year, franchise quarterback. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Then they go get Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry, and they're talking about the Super Bowl, and Freddie Kitchens is the coach, and we knew that wasn't going to work out because Floyd had pretty much told us that. And so that blows up, and now Baker stinks. Then Stefanski comes in. They turn around, start handing the ball off to their really good running backs. They start to win games. Then people like Baker. Now Baker's hurt this year, and his offensive line is hurt, and his team's got COVID, and he loses a game where two of the picks probably were bad calls, especially the last one, and everybody hates Baker. There's a story you can take whatever you want to make of it with Baker Mayfield. The reality is, they don't think Baker Mayfield's very good. The country doesn't. And ultimately, that's the reputation in the NFL. So we can tell whatever story we want to make us feel good about Ryan Tannehill. But the quality of play at the quarterback position is not good enough. By the way, Adam Schefter just reported that Jimmy Garoppolo missed practice today because he's got a sore thumb that he suffered early in the Tennessee game. Hey, Jimmy, I hope you play on Sunday, because if you don't, you may never get your job back. Because nobody cares. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo got the 49ers to the Super Bowl, but he missed a wide-open Emmanuel Sanders. You know, if he hits Emmanuel Sanders, he's MVP of that Super Bowl. And Trey Lance is not on that roster right now. But he didn't. Everybody's got a story. If your story is he's better than all the other quarterbacks, so we're behind him, all right. But now let's see if he can go beat Patrick Mahomes in Arrowhead. Let's see if he can go toe-to-toe with Joe Burrow if Derrick Henry's not 100% back. And if he's not, and he can't, then what are you going to do? Because then 2 years in a row in the playoffs, your quarterback will have been unable to get you out of a tough spot. And here's the truth. Tannehill's 2-2 in the playoffs as the starting quarterback of the Titans. And in the two wins, he's thrown for under 200 yards combined. Anybody else got a problem with that? What's next?
Mike texts in and says, it's true, Ryan Tannehill has cost the Titans games this year as well as last year. And in my opinion, the Titans should look for the quarterback of the future. And if they can't redo his contract after next year, then cut him.
Well, they can't cut him. But I do think that the playoffs, you know, Bob Valvano, I used to work with him in Louisville. Mm-hmm. And it used to kind of drive me crazy because I was 23 years old. And obviously, as you all know, I have very strong opinions. And in talk radio, what you can't do is you can't just sit there and say, well, it'll be interesting to see how the games played out on Sunday. Like, you can't do that. You have 20 hours a week to fill. And just the, you know, everybody used to get on Floyd for saying, I don't know, when you'd ask him questions. And he would be like, I don't know. And people would be like, yeah, Floyd, it's radio. It's your opinion. You got to have a... But, like, I understood why he said, I don't know, all the time. Because, like, in the NFL, if someone were to come into his office and say, hey, do you think Baker's the problem in Cleveland? I don't know. I haven't watched enough about... I don't know. I haven't been there. I haven't talked to the coaches. I don't... Like, so I understood that. Bob Valvano used to always say, let the cake bake. And I used to think, like, oh, God, what a cop-out. Every time, just to say, let the cake bake. With Tannehill, and the way that you feel long-term about him, there's going to be some cake baking that will be done. And if the playoffs... Say they draw the Chargers in the first round, and Herbert comes in here and beats him. And he throws for 173 yards and two interceptions, and you lose. Now you're in a different scenario than if he gets you back to the AFC title game, regardless of whether or not Derrick Henry does it. So that's going to be what decides it, because that's how this league works. And you will say, I can already hear, it's unfair. The NFL is not fair. Just watch the penalty. Watch the non-pass interference that Baker Mayfield didn't get at the end of the Cleveland game, and ask yourself this question. If that's Devontae Adams and it's Aaron Rodgers on the other side and the Cleveland defensive back is grabbing the jersey like that, what do you think's going to happen? It's not fair, but it's the NFL. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Boy, Vol fans got triggered yesterday.
Yeah, they did. You're not very popular on Vol Twitter.
Oh, shocker. That's something new to me. Coming up next, why no matter how mad you get, it will not change the reality of where the Vols are right now, unless the Vols change that reality. Explain next. Stillman and Company right here at ESPN 1025 The Game.